Welcome to Missionize with the Missions Guys, a podcast of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention, offering biblical and practical insight and strategies designed to equip and encourage missions leaders to carry on mission work. The goal is to fulfill the Great Commission from a church's local community to the ends of the earth. That is why we missionize. Now here are your hosts, the Missions Guys, Sam Roberts and Clint Ritchie.
Welcome to Missionize with the Mission Guys. I'm your host, Sam Roberts, and sitting across from me is our co-host, Clint Ritchie. Now, we have the awesome privilege of leading the missions team of the Arkansas Baptist State Convention. And although Arkansas pastors and mission leaders are our primary audience, we've got a few faithful listeners in other states and even a few in international listeners, Clint. Wherever you serve, know that we are grateful that you carve out a few minutes of your schedule to join us. And please, if you like what you hear, give us a like, leave a review, subscribe to the podcast. Help us get the word out by sharing this resource with your friends, wherever they serve. Now, here we are on the calendar. It's the end of August. And churches, as you know, are wrapping up their summer schedule, and they're beginning to plan fall events, which by the way, Clint, that's a topic, I think, for our next segment we're going to have.
Yes.
Planning those fall ministry events. But across our state, school is back in session. Clint, you and Jennifer have entered that infamous last first season of parenting. You have a senior this year.
Yes. We got here awfully quick, and it's hard to believe I have a senior. And I am, be honest with you, I am looking forward to her senior year and just looking forward to this season of life for Addison. But we're not done yet. There's still Whitley at home, and so maybe she could graduate early. Who knows?
Yeah.
But speaking of school, this is also the season when churches begin their new Sunday school year. Now,
yeah.
I know we have listeners from various sized churches, so it may be called different things. Most of our listeners are probably still calling it Sunday school. There are some that are life groups or Bible fellowship, some other name. But whatever you call it, small groups are a natural component for missions and ministry that are already built into the structure and the life of the church. And so small groups are a natural, easy way to take care of people in your church and to build friendships. But if we're not careful, that caring and relationship aspect of a small group can cause the group to become unintentionally inwardly focused.
Yeah.
It's not a decision that they make necessarily as far as voting or discussing, but that group just gradually over time starts taking care of itself. So our topic today is based on another article by our friend, Dr. Chuck Lawless, 7 Ways to Turn Your Small Group in an Outward Direction.
So these are the 7 ways to turn your small group in an outward direction. If you find that small group is becoming increasingly inward focus, then here are some ways, some practical steps to take to lead your small group ministry, your Sunday school, in an outward direction. And number one that Chuck says is, as leaders, set the example. And Clint, what Chuck is getting at is leadership in your small group structure is the key to creating and sustaining this missional focus in your small group ministry. He writes this. He says, in more than 25 years of studying churches in North America, I've never seen a strongly evangelistic, outwardly focused small group without a leader or leaders whose heart beats in that direction. Groups simply follow their leaders in an inward direction. Ouch.
Yes.
Now, I'm sure that some of our listeners may be thinking, you know, this inward focus thing is really not that bad. I thought the main reason for Sunday school and small groups was to study the Bible, you know, to get through the lesson. and provide this avenue of fellowship for members of the church.
And that's true, but that's not all that Sunday school
that's
is.
Right.
If you ever participated in the Sunday school training offered by our church growth team back in the day, church health team now, but the one and only Lynn Riley would always share the definition of a Sunday school or of Sunday school. And then I learned that in college and seminary. Here it is. Sunday school is the foundational strategy in a local church for leading people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and for building on-mission Christians through open Bible study groups that engage people in evangelism, discipleship, ministry, fellowship, worship, and prayer. Now, you probably need to hit the back button and go back and listen to that. We could break that and dissect that down. We won't do that here, but to know that that was the original focus of Sunday school, leading people to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, also building on mission Christians. But Ken Brady, who's now Lifeway's leader of Sunday school, he defines it this way. Sunday school is the church's foundational discipleship strategy for people of all ages, where they learn to think and act like Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit. I like that definition, where they learn to think and act like Jesus. Dr. Sam, when we learn to think and act like Jesus, we will be outwardly focused.
Exactly right. And we want to say thank you again to Lynn Riley, who once again continues to have an impact in Arkansas among Arkansas Baptist churches.
That's right.
Grateful for the years that he served, not only of directing us to the importance of Sunday school, but also directing us to the really good places to eat in our state. Wherever you were traveling, you would always contact Lynn and say, okay, I'm heading this direction. Where do I need to have lunch?
Yes.
And regardless of where you would go, he would know the right spot to stop. Incredible. But yes, if we're teaching our folks to think and act like Jesus, that is going to have an outward focus to it. Now, Chuck introduces the article this way. These are his words. The longer a church small group is in existence. Now, pay attention to this, guys. The longer a church small group is in existence, the more likely it is the group will have turned inwardly. They don't move in that direction on purpose, but it happens. The fellowship is great. The ministry needs among the faithful attenders are many. The group feels comfortable, and seldom do they think intentionally about being outwardly focused. So if that is where your group is, begin by looking at leadership, because leaders set the example. Now, Clint, as we look at leadership, does that mean that you have to ask that Bible teacher who's been doing this for many years and has faithful attenders in the class, do you have to ask them to step down?
Well, there's probably somebody listening. Maybe it's a new pastor at a church that is waiting for this answer and hoping that it's yes, but not necessarily.
Yeah.
But the structure of the small group time will have to change.
That's right.
To have an intentional focus in an outward direction, maybe you need to put someone that's not teaching, but somebody in some different roles. Maybe somebody becomes a missions leader that helps the church think of ways they can be involved missionally. Maybe somebody becomes the prayer leader that leads the group to pray for unreached people groups and for lost people. So if the leader has been in that role for a long time, he or she is probably dearly loved. And they're probably very good at teaching, and I would imagine good at caring for people. That's how they've stayed in that position. That group a lot of times has aged together. They've lived life together. So let that person continue to teach and take care of folks, but have others in the group take on roles that will help shift the focus in an outward direction.
Yeah, that's good. That's a really good thought there, Clint. It is important that we study the Word of God together. And that's a great aspect of Sunday school, a small group ministry. But we also have to remember that we study the Word of God not just for information's sake, but for transformation.
Yeah.
And transformation sets our heart, our mind, our hands, our feet in an outward direction.
And that leads us to number two. As your group, pray Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, and Colossians 4, 2 through 4 for each other. Let's read those verses together. Ephesians 6, 18 through 20 says, "And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. Pray also for me, that whenever I speak, words may be given me, so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should." So you're praying that, you're going to change your focus to an outward focus. That praying that I will take advantage of opportunities and I will declare it fearlessly. Colossians 4, Paul writes, "Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should." Chuck says getting your group to pray intentionally for each other this way can make a difference.
Awesome. And number three is tell your gospel stories to each other. Chuck writes, "I'm continually amazed by how many people we worship with and attend small group with, but do not know how God saved them." Just think through that. If you're in a Sunday school group, how many of those in your small group have you heard their testimony? You know, when I hear someone else's gospel story, when they share with me how God saved them, how God is working in their life right now, here's what happens to me. It makes me want to tell my story more often.
Yeah.
I mean, it frees me up to be able to tell that story. And Chuck says this, if we first share our stories with one another, we will tell our testimony to more non-believers. I think that is so incredibly true, because you know, each of us as pastors and as small group leaders, when we talk about evangelism, there are so many within our church that fear, you know, sharing their story with someone who's not a believer. One thing that I taught as I was a pastor is that discipleship and evangelism are really the same thing. They're both telling our gospel story. They're telling how God changed our life, you know, how salvation occurred. They're also telling how God continually changes our lives. The only difference is the audience. You know, a discipleship audience is composed of believers who share a similar story. And an evangelism audience is composed of non-believers who don't have a story to tell. But it's the same story that you share, regardless.
Yes.
If it's with believers or non-believers. And I couldn't agree more with Chuck that the more we practice discipleship, the more comfortable we are in telling our story to believers, then the more often we're going to tell that story to non-believers. So Clint, how can this happen in a Sunday school or a small group setting?
Yeah, I would just say you build a brief testimony time in your gatherings, you know, a time when you are telling each other your stories, just gospel stories happening. I think back, I had a Sunday school class in Yazoo City, last church I pastored, that did this. And there were some times that the testimony wasn't necessarily brief, and it took up the entire Sunday school hour. But that class became the most outwardly focused group that we had.
Oh, cool.
And they did. They just rotated. Maybe it was not every week, but that there were times that became the lesson. And it was just somebody telling their story. And oftentimes it was people like you're talking about that had never shared before. Nobody knew the story, any parts of the story that they were sharing. And by the way, that started with their leader. He's the one that shared his wife shared, and then others began to share
Leaders
out of that.
Set the example.
Yes.
Leaders set the example.
And then number four, pray for at least one unchurched person by name each time your group gathers. Yeah, I would encourage you, take a good look at your group's prayer list. Most groups have a list, and that's important. But does it include anyone on the list because they're lost and they need Jesus? Chuck says, if you pray for a different person each time you gather, your group will begin to think beyond themselves.
And that's so good. And perhaps whoever's leading your group in that prayer focus, you could lead the group to adopt an unreached people group and pray weekly for them as well. But we're intentional on, yes, we want to pray for one another with the concerns that we have, whether they're family or health or whatever that may be. But we want to be outwardly focused in our prayer time as well to pray for those that we know that are lost, pray for others in the world that are unreached with the gospel. And number five in Chuck's list of seven ways to turn your small group in an outward direction is plan at least two annual activities that are designed particularly to invite non-believers to hang out with your group. Now, if your group is praying for at least one unreached person by name each time you gather, you've already got your invitation list together.
That's right.
Now, why is that an important step?
Well, I think a couple of reasons. One, it puts action to your prayers. I think a temptation for a lot of believers is we use prayer as an excuse for inaction. Yeah. Hey, I'm praying for them. I'm praying, and we can just keep praying and never initiate a deeper relationship with that person and never initiate gospel conversations. Look for opportunities to have gospel conversations. And then secondly, when non-believers hang out with believers, especially in times of fellowship and fun, like a small group getting together, walls just come down. I mean, think back to Matthew. After Matthew was changed to tax collector, he held a party, invited Jesus, and who did he invite? His friends, other tax collectors and sinners. That's who he knew. So for non-believers, when they see us for who we really are, opportunities arise to share the gospel with them, and then they see that we can be kind of normal people.
Yeah, exactly. So, I like kind of normal people.
Yeah, well, that's relative.
We're talking about seven ways to turn your small group in an outward direction. One, as leaders, set the example. Two, pray Ephesians 6:18 through 20, Colossians 4:2-4 for each other. Now, there are other prayers in Scripture you can pray as well, but you get the gist of that particular step. Number three, tell your gospel stories to each other. Four, pray for at least one unreached person by name each time your group gathers. Five, plan at least two annual activities designed particularly to invite non-believers to hang out with your group. I've got to go back and read my notes here. I've had cataract surgery, and sometimes things kind of bleed in and look like another word right now. But the last one was plan at least two annual activities designed particularly to invite non-believers to hang out with your group. Clint, rescue me. What is number six?
Number six is have two maps available each time you meet, one of your city and one of the world, and pray specifically for part of your city and for one nation of the world. Mm. Now, most Sunday school classes have some maps on their wall. Yeah. They've been up there for a long time, and you better not take them down. But most time, those are typically from the biblical area. Those are important. But if you want to turn your small group into an outward direction, this is a great step to take. Put a map of your city, and depending upon the size of your city, you know, maybe you divide that into zones, or maybe you just identify some important places, schools, medical facilities, whatever is in your city, and just spend time rotating through your city praying for that area. And then again, one of the world, maybe you're taking advantage of some of the resources from the IMB or other resources that are out there to help you pray for unreached people group. But just having a map on the wall seems to really hone in on that outward focus that we desire.
Yeah, and then on that map, you could also have, pinpoint maybe where a place that you're praying for, unreached people group in a particular area of the world, or maybe where there are particular missionaries that your church has partnerships with, and you want to highlight where they are. and connect those dots to see what kind of an outward focus, footprint that you're having as a church.
Yeah.
And number seven is be amazed by Jesus. Mm. Chuck says, this one may be the most important step to take. Read the Gospels, and here's what you'll find. People who are amazed by Jesus talk about him. Wonder leads to proclamation. That is an incredible statement. Short sentence, but so powerful. Wonder leads to proclamation. On the other hand, we won't be outwardly focused if we've lost our astonishment over Jesus. If you're leading a small group, but Jesus becomes so routine to you that you don't talk about him to non-believers, I challenge you, Dr. Lawless says, to confess your heart. Ask God to fill you with wonder again, and then go talk about him as you lead others in your group to do the same. Leaders, spend time with Jesus. Continually be amazed by Jesus.
And I think if you've lost the wonder, just look in the mirror and be amazed that God uses ordinary people.
Exactly.
So there you have it. Seven ways to turn your small group in an outward direction. Leaders, set the example. Maybe as you're listening, you are a leader, I would imagine. Whatever role in which you lead, consider how you can set the example in your small group. Pray Ephesians 6, 18 through 20, and Colossians 4, 2 through 4 for each other, that you would take advantage of the opportunities as they come, and you would fearlessly proclaim the gospel. And tell your stories, your gospel stories, to each other. Fourthly, pray for at least one unreached person by name each time your group gathers. Plan at least two annual activities designed particularly to invite non-believers to hang out with your group. Then take two maps. Have two maps available each time you meet, one of your city and one of the world, and pray specifically for part of your city and for one nation of the world. And then lastly, again, be amazed by Jesus. Great article. We'll have it linked in the show notes. I just encourage you, take a look at that. Listen, maybe share this with somebody in your small group or some of your small group leaders and encourage them to develop an outward focus. If we can help you in that anyway, or if our church health team could help you, don't hesitate to reach out to us. Easiest way is missionize@absc.org. That email comes straight to us. Give us a call. We're here to serve you and your churches. Thank you for listening, and we will see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for joining the Missions Guys today. If you liked what you heard, rate and review us on your favorite podcasting platform. And to keep up with what is happening in Arkansas missions, visit absc.org/missions.